Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the sixth recording of Asir al Hublahi Lahi, the secret of the love of God, the secret of the love of God. We're currently on page 29, which is referring us to page 243, where we're going to read about Rabia and the station of Rabia. And it's the teaching that Sidi does his teachings on from June 23rd, 2006. And so the first part of this reading will be reading from that chapter, which we'll read again in another reading, inshallah. And then coming back to this, we'll see how far we get. So we'll begin with the Fatiha, and then we'll go right into the reading ahead on page 243 for a few pages until Sidi begins his teaching. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. How Rabia loved her Lord. Kafya kaf Kaifa ahabat Rabia Rabba. Who is Rabia? She appeared in the second century after the migration of the messenger from Makkah to Al-Madina in the city of Al-Basra in Iraq. Public fame for her filled the world. She called the people to a simple life and to renounce the lower world of the dunya. She did so by her state more than by her speech, and spent her days busy preparing for the day when she would leave this world at the appointed time. She spent her life in true renunciation, zud, while the tongue of her state declared, "An arid loaf of bread you eat in a corner, and a cup of cold water. You drink from a pure spring and a narrow room in which yourself is empty, or a mosque in seclusion, aside from all creation. It is enough." She was known as al-Khair, the mother of goodness. Born to a family who had no male children, she was named Rabia because she was the fourth girl to be born into that poor house. Her mother wept when she gave birth to her, for there was no food in the house and no piece of cloth to wrap her with, and there was nothing to satisfy one's thirst. Their poverty was extreme. Her father immersed himself in prayer, asking Allah for relief and to remove their affliction. The tongue of his state declared, "May it be after coming into such difficulty, a relief will soon follow." He was between wakefulness and sleep, and soon sleep overtook him. In his dream, he saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking to him. "Do not grieve, for the female child just born will be a noble woman and the mediator of 70,000 of my community." He then commanded him to go to the Prince of Al-Basra to inform him of the Prophet's visit to him in his dream, and to tell the prince that the Messenger of Allah said to him, "O Isa," which was the prince's name, "I know that you pray 100 rak'ah every night, and on Friday you pray 400 rak'ah, but this Friday you forgot." Rabia's father wrote that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, went to the prince's palace and gave it to the guard who was standing at the prince's door. When the message arrived and the prince read it, he left his throne and went to Rabia's father and took his hand and kissed him. Then he gave him everything that his family needed and took a pledge to care for the newly born daughter and her family. When her father died, a famine took place in Al-Basra and the four sisters lost their home. Some bandits sold Rabia for a few dirhams. Her master treated her with unbearable cruelty, tiring her in serving him. She used to immediately call upon her Lord at night, crying, "Oh my God, you know that my heart wishes to obey you and my eyes delight in serving you. If the matter were in my hands, I would abandon everything except my intimate conversations with you. You have left me under the mercy of this cruel creature, so you are now pleased with me?" One day her master heard her words and saw many of the signs that Allah provided to honor her. A lamp would hang suspended in the air above her at night, illuminating the whole house. The man was terrified to see it, and after that he honored her and finally said, "You are free. I am releasing you from your bondage for the sake of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want, you are free to stay with us and we will be in your service. And if you want to leave, you can leave." She chose to leave and to live freely of all worldly desire, pleasure, and ornament. Before she left, she made sure to explain to him that if she was to be owned in this world by a man, he would not be satisfied by her because she is perishable. Rabia said, "O Allah, I seek refuge in you from every being that may busy me away from you. I seek refuge in you from every barrier that prevents me from you, my God. All eyes are asleep and all those who are unaware have forgotten you. And Rabia, the sinner, remains awake between your hands so that you may give her one glance by which you prevent her from sleep so that she may serve you night and day until she meets you. O my God, I have not listened to the sound of an animal or to the rustling of a tree or to the murmur of water or to the singing of a bird or to the whistling of the wind or to the clatter of thunder, but that I saw it as a testimony of your oneness, pointing to nothing is as his likeness." Quran 42:11. And how beautiful is what she said. "My cup, my wine and the drinking friend are three, and I am longing in love to be the fourth. My cup of delight and happiness, my cup bearer circulating around one cup after another without stopping. Wherever I look, I see only him. And whenever I am present, I am seen with him. O one who puts me in seclusion, I love his beauty. By Allah, my ears hear no other than you. How many times have I spent the night on fire and in intense uncertainty, making springs flow from my weeping eyes? My tears do not cease, nor does my communion with him remain, and my eyes are not a grave for quiescence." Rabia gave us one of the greatest examples of renunciation, zuhd, worship and love for Allah. She went into seclusion, khalwa, and continued to fast and to spend her nights weeping for the days she had wasted. No matter how long she worshipped Allah, she felt her shortcomings. And when the night came, she would wake up and intimately speak with her Lord until dawn. Her tongue never stopped supplicating Allah, begging him in humbleness, saying, "O my soul, how long you sleep and how little you wake up. You are about to sleep the sleep from which you will not wake up except by the shout on the day of dispersing, Yom al-Mashur." This was her state with Allah, her whole life, until he ended her life in the lower world and brought her into his proximity. When night came, Rabia would climb up onto the roof of her house and cry out, "Oh my God, all voices have become quiet and all movement has stopped. And every lover is privately with his beloved, and I am with you in privacy, my beloved. The goal of my seclusion today is to ask you to please save me from the fire." She would then wrap herself in her outer garments and veil, saying, "The stars are shining and the eyes are asleep, and kings have closed their doors, and every lover is alone with his beloved. And this is my station between your hands." When the dawn came, she would say, "Oh my God, the night has passed away and the daylight has arrived. So tell me now if you have accepted my night of prayer so that I may rejoice, or tell me if you have rejected it so I may mourn. By your majesty, even if you sent me away from your door, I would not leave it. I could not leave it, for my heart has fallen down in love with you." One of the Gnostics called her the well-mannered, Al-Mu'abba'adaba. And he would say to his companions, "Let us go, for I cannot rest if I miss her conversation." After asking her permission, he would come into her place. One day he raised his hands in supplication, a dua, saying, "O Allah, I ask you for security." And she said to him, "Do you know that security is to leave what is in the lower world, dunya?" Once a Gnostic came to her and asked, "Why do you live in such a pitiable state?" And she asked, "What is pitiable about my state? Am I not in the noble state of Al-Islam, which has no humiliation associated with it? Do I not have a richness that has no association with poverty? Am I not absorbed in an intimacy that has no loneliness within it?" Gnostic replied, "Yes, indeed, it's as if you have described." She said, "By Allah, I feel ashamed to ask for the world from the owner of the world. So how could I ask for it from someone who does not own it?" She would not permit those who love the world to enter her home. To page 247, and the next part will be taken up in a new reading. Now back to page 29. Assalamu alaikum. I ask Allah, glory be to him, to bestow his mercy and his love and his beauty upon you, and may he protect you and protect your children and protect your actions. Today is our third day together in which I continue to be with you from the permission of Allah and by his command. I give to you from the gifts that Allah has bestowed upon me, and I only hope that Allah will open your hearts and spirits. May you walk and follow the path of all the prophets and of the Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Today we are still with the drop of the ocean of the love. I hope that you will open your hearts to receive this and allow the water of the ocean of the love to flow within your hearts so that you may live in the station of the divine beauty. In that station, you will be able to follow all of the divine commands, and I am certain that you will be able to return. You will annihilate from everything except Allah. You will annihilate in Allah from anything else. Your hearing will become divine, and your seeing will become divine, and all of his beautiful qualities and names will manifest upon you. In this station, you see yourself in the ocean of the divine beauty and in the station of the divine love. This happens as a result of following of all the divine commands with sincerity and truthfulness. In this station, when you ask Allah for anything, he will give it to you, because when you love Allah in this station, he loves, because there is nothing for Allah but the love and mercy. But those who neglect to knock on his door and who do not believe in him but reject him, no one is waiting for those people except the shaitan. The human self, nafs, also makes you stop with the pictures and illusions because it wants to turn you away from the path of the real truth to other truths. But the truth is Allah. Allah is giving you gifts. Who else is giving us gifts, especially of the knowledge of the love of God? Anyone can live in the garden with Allah. His garden has no beginning and no end. This will happen, and you will attain this by the permission of Allah. Today I will give you an example of how a servant can love and how he can attain the station of majesty and beauty. There was a woman who was a sincere worshipper and a teacher of the way, and Allah put her in the station of majesty, and she was steadfast in the presence of His Majesty. Then Allah moved her from station to station in the divine essence. She was a perfect and complete woman. The beloved daughter of the Prophet Fatima was also in the station. This woman carried the spirit of the beloved Fatima and also of all the prophets. This is not a fantasy or something strange. Allah opened the doors. He opened the doors for her because there is no difference in His world between men and women. This is why He says in His Quran, those who remember Allah all the time, both male and female, those men and women who mention Allah, He always mentioned them both because there is only one mirror in which the divine manifests. She was one who possessed direct tasting of the divine presence. Both of His hands are wide open for you. His doors are open. Whoever wants to enter, just knock on the door and offer a sacrifice in His name with love, and you will find Allah opening His arms for you. Tell Him, here I am, my Lord, here I am. We're speaking about Rabia. The word Rabia means the fourth in Arabic, but really it does not mean that she is the fourth because Allah has only one number. Allah never abandons His lovers. There is no discrimination in the world of Allah. She was the true mirror because she was listening with the divine ear. Divine ears only know the truth and they understand all languages. She listened to the sounds of birds and understood them. She listened to the sounds and the flowing of the water and to the trees and understood all of the languages. This was because of her sincerity and the truthfulness of her sincerity, and because she directed herself completely to Allah. In total surrender to her protector, Allah was her protector, and she spoke with the divine tongue and listened with the divine ear and perceived with the divine eyes, meaning that she was annihilated from her humanity in the Creator of humanity. She lived with humanity and gave humanity everything she could give, but she went beyond the human world to the divine world, from the dense world to the vast, subtle world without a limit. In the physical world, there is one body for an individual, but in this divine world, the form of one spirit can be 70 times larger. This is the truth. I speak of this state because it is my state, and with Allah's permission, you will experience this state. And there is no difference between Rabia, the female, and Rabia, the male. There is only one spirit, but Allah, glory belongs to Him, gave us another tongue through her. Rabia also means the spring. Do you not see everything blooming and the birds singing in the spring? Allah wants you to be like this, to be continuously blooming and singing in the garden for eternity, and He wants you to listen to His praises within the universe. Even the mountains are covered with this divine carpet, and you can see Allah within it and hear the mountains singing His praises because even the mountains sing His praises, and the rocks split, and water issues forth from within them. He says in His Quran, if we revealed the Quran to a mountain, even the mountain would crumble to dust, and the rocks split asunder, and water emerges forth. This is because when the majesty of Allah is revealed to it, it screams. No one can hear this scream. It screams, and water emerges where the earth splits and volcanoes erupt. Allah can move a mountain from its place. These are signs for our comprehension, even for one with poor intellect. Allah commands the mountains and the rocks to split open, and water comes from them by which He revives life. When people stop following the commands of Allah, He brings forth fire from the earth instead of water. However, He usually forgives and overlooks a lot of people's faults, but He can bring fire and water from the earth. Is this not true? Who could prevent this affliction? This is why we must return to Him and call to Him, humbling ourselves to Him and surrender to His commands and follow Him. Then affliction stops. Some people ask why there are earthquakes and volcanoes. Allah answers, saying, "It is that which your hands have earned, and Allah forgives abundantly what you do." Allah allows people to taste a lower form of suffering, and there is another greater suffering, but He has opened the door of forgiveness. If the person passes through the door of affliction and suffering and dis-ease, he must return to Allah and repent and seek forgiveness. He must throw himself into the care of Allah and seek from Allah as Abraham did. As Abraham said, "When I fall sick, it is He who can heal me." And Allah says, "Who removes the suffering?" No one can remove the suffering except Allah. So approach Him and seek refuge in Him, and come to Him with obedience and give charity to the poor and needy. Because the Prophet said, "Charity repels affliction and trouble." This is the truth. This is why she offered herself as a sacrifice. She had no money to give. She had nothing to give. So she said, "O my beloved God, I give you my whole self. I am nothing and you are everything. O Allah, I love you with two loves, a love of passion, hawa, and a love because you ought to be loved. I never loved you out of greed for your garden or to be spared from the fire. I only loved you because you ought to be worshipped and loved. You are the beloved I live for and the beloved I live by." And back to further in the book and the story of Rabia. One night a thief entered her house while she was sleeping. He took a cloth and looked for the door, but he could not find the door. He put the cloth away and looked again for the door and found it. He repeated this three times, and every time he took the cloth, he could not find the door, and every time he left the cloth aside, he would find the door. Finally, a voice called to him, "Leave the cloth, for if the beloved is asleep, the Sultan is awake." As he tried to leave, Rabia said, "Do not go with your hands empty. Take this jar. Make ablution and then come to pray two cycles of prayer." She then raised her head to heaven and said, speaking to her Lord, "My master and protector, this man came to my door and could not find anything to take from me, so I have left him standing at your door. Please do not deprive him of your reward and favor." When the man had finished his two cycles of prayer, he was delighted by the prayer and so continued to pray until the end of the night. In prostration, he said, "What if my Lord said to me, 'Do you feel no shame in disobeying me? Do you hide your sins from my creatures and dare to come to me in disobedience?' What would I say to him then when he blames and judges me?" Rabia said to him, "How did you feel after prayer?" And he answered, "In a good state. I stood between the hands of my Lord and my Master, in my poverty and need of him. And so he excused me and accepted my humiliation. He has healed me and forgiven me and granted me my request." He then left bewildered and annihilated in Allah, and Rabia cried out, "O my Lord, He stood by your door an hour and you accepted him, and I have been standing between your hands since I knew you, and have you then accepted me? She then heard a voice saying, it is for your sake that we have accepted him, and because of you that we granted him proximity. Returning to page 32. This is the language of the lover with the beloved, and a true conversation between the lover and the beloved. This is the greatest state that any person can attain, and I desire all people to taste this and to live as she lived. And this is what Allah wants. This is for you. It is for your sake that we have accepted him, and because of you that we granted him proximity. The door of Allah, the true door through which you can enter, is the door of love, which must be purified and cleaned and full of all the meaning of the divine beauty. Your remembrance must be through love. Your prayer must be through love. You must be worshipping and doing your practices with love in order to annihilate in his love, because when you annihilate in his love, you annihilate in his own essence, in his self. Rabia came to teach us how to love Allah. This is the true way. If you want to travel from one place to another place far away, you must find someone to show you the way. Someone who knows the way. And she shows you the way. This comes to the end of the middle of page 33, the top actually. And we'll leave this reading until next week, and we'll continue and pick up, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.